I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
I'm Angelie Preston.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We're going to have some real healing. We've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity, and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. Welcome to What's Next. Today, we're going to be talking about the Hip Hop Creative Alliance at Villa Maria College. Let me just give you a little background about this. This is released to us back in mid-February, and according to the release, it is designed to bridge the gap between various artistic disciplines. The Hip Hop Creative Alliance is set to revolutionize the way creatives connect, collaborate, and succeed in their respective fields. Here to talk more about it, the special assistant to the president at Villa Maria College, CJ Banks. CJ, thanks for joining us today.
What's up? How are you? How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm thrilled to have you with us. Your energy is infectious, sir.
Thank you. I am happy to be here. And this is toned down for me. I'm really wild, but this is, I'm trying to be professional.
Yeah, just try to stay within
exactly.
In the space here,
exactly.
But for sure. You got a really interesting background, but let's before we get into some of that, let's the idea of the Hip Hop Creative Alliance at Villa Maria College, because though we had your president, Matt Giordano, on here last year, we also did some other some work on What's Next last year out at Villa. Let's talk about connecting the dots here. Mm-hmm. This Hip Hop Creative Alliance, what it's going to mean for the students at Villa Maria College.
Yeah, so I can tell you that, you know, not just for the students, that it's really about supporting all people in the hip hop culture, right? So for the students, starting with the students at Villa Maria College, we have really, really great artists at Villa Maria College. People, I mean, you would be amazed to see, like, when you walk past the studio and hear the things that they're doing, it's just amazing. And that represents Buffalo in general. We have great artists here in Buffalo. So the goal is to support these artists. And I can tell you where I got the idea from, right? I did a panel discussion with Forge Buffalo, part of 43 North. And we were talking about business and things like that. And there was an artist, a colleague of mine, that I didn't know he was going to be there, but he was there. And he jumped up and he was like, well, not jumped up, but he raised his hand while we were taking questions. He said, everybody's talking about supporting businesses, right? In Buffalo and supporting, you know, startups and all of that, but there's never any support for hip hop artists. And there are tons of hip hop artists in Buffalo. And again, when I say hip hop artists, I'm talking about rappers, singers, poets, graffiti artists, like the culture of hip hop. So that stuck with me because it's true, and I've been in hip hop for a long time. So
yeah, and I want to touch upon that experience as we move through our conversation here. You started out in the Bronx, some time in Long Island, some time in Florida, now here in Buffalo. Can you compare it? Does Buffalo have its own unique hip hop culture?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think that every city has its own culture, like Long Island and the Bronx, those the rappers and artists there, they speak about different things. They even hold themselves in a different way. They dress different. Like, every city has its own culture within, like, subculture within the culture of hip hop. Buffalo has its own. Buffalo, you know, the way Buffalo, even their delivery, you know, when singing and rapping, like, the delivery is different. They kind of have this, you know, now, like with Griselda, that slow flow in hip hop, that slow, you know, the way they, you know, the tracks that they use, all of that is totally Buffalo's own.
Nice.
A lot of people don't see it, right?
Right.
A lot of people that I talk to in the city, they say, oh, you know, Buffalo doesn't have its own sound, but it really does. Like, it has its own sound. I mean, you have to have your own sound. When you talk about rap artists, you have to have your own sound, right? Because we have our own lingo. And I say we because I include myself in Buffalo, though I'm not originally from Buffalo. But I'm learning the lingo, you know, and there is, I mean, I think that's going to be a lifelong journey, learning the lingo. But
and you've already put 20 years in.
Exactly, and I've already put 20 years in. But, yeah, absolutely, I think that Buffalo has its own sound, definitely has its own sound. I think that it's morphing into a more developed sound.
Okay.
But that's even part of the reason why the Hip Hop Creative Alliance was started, right? Because what we need to do is teach our artists and our community how to develop into a space where we are the hub of, like, at least the Western New York hip hop culture,
sure,
right? And we have the ability to do that. When people think hip hop now, they're really, Buffalo's on the top. You know, Buffalo has started with Griselda, and I keep talking about Griselda because they really,
well, they're huge.
They're really huge, yeah, and doing big things, and I have so much respect for them. And but in a community, people have to learn how to do that. They have to learn how to develop into an artist themselves, and somebody that knows how to handle the business and all of that. But we don't have a lot of support. What I was saying is we don't have a lot of support.
Yeah, and I want to get into how the ideas about development, because mm-hmm. this is something that you've been doing, you know, on your own. As like you say, you're a serial entrepreneur.
Yes.
But can you reflect maybe just a little bit about maybe where the art form of hip hop, what about Buffalo is showing itself inside that? What, you know, what is being reflected maybe mm-hmm. inside the what Buffalo is all about that comes out of that art form? Can you touch on that a little bit?
That's a great question. There is, so hip hop in general is always a form of self expression,
sure,
right? Talking about what we're going through, what I'm going through. When I was a rapper, that's what I talked about. The things that are going, whether it was meeting girls or, you know, hanging out with the guys at a club or whatever the case may be, Buffalo has a story, right? And it continues. That story continues to morph into different, you know, side stories or different editions, or if you want to say different chapters, right?
Sure.
So Buffalo has so much to talk about, and hip hop is the platform. Right. When you talk about hip hop, when you listen to the songs, you really listen to, if you get past the cursing or get past the things that you may not be personally comfortable with, and you start listening to the message or what they're saying, that's the story of Buffalo. That's the, you know, people like, oh, well, I don't know what's going on with Buffalo and why Buffalo's this and why Buffalo's that, or why are we facing so many challenges. All you got to do is listen to the words that are coming out of the mouths of these artists, because they'll tell you what the problem is. That's the one thing. And it's not unlike any other genre. You listen,
sure,
to country music. Like, I love country music. You listen to country music. You listen. I love it because I can hear the story. I can hear the pain. I can hear the joy. I can hear all of that in the music. I like when it tells a story, right? And whether they're talking about glorifying drug dealing or talking about glorifying going to college or glorifying, you know, being a student dropout of high school, right, but made it. That's really not a story of glorifying dropping out of school, but it's a story of saying, hey, we're breaking away from the norm, the traditional, right, thought process, and we're taking it to, and look at where we took it.
Right,
right.
Overcoming the odds.
Exactly. Right. So the story is there, and I hopefully that answered your question.
No, it does, and I appreciate exploring that, because mm-hmm. I think that's something that is very important. We talk about, you know, we're here trying to get stories out every day.
Right.
Yet, you know, what you're telling me here is those stories. There are artists out there telling those stories right now.
Absolutely. And we tend to think differently, right? We tend to listen to it and say, oh, look at, he's glorified, you know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of thinking like, listen, let me hear what this person is saying. Just in psych, I went to school for psychology. That's where I got my degree in. And a lot of times it's not the words that you're saying, but it's the message behind it, or, you know, why the why behind it, right? So if you listen, really listen deep to the words, even if it's a song that you never would listen to in your whole life, listen to the words, you could figure out what the challenge is and what the problems are, and what are some of the things that we have to work on as human beings to solve those problems.
Now, Griselda, of course, that's the big name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And well, let's, since we have a little bit of time here today, let's maybe share a couple of artists that, you know, you think that would, you know, could use that light.
Listen, it's so hard, and I'm afraid to leave people out because they're like,
we can return to it if you want. How's that?
Yeah, but I can tell you off, you know, off top, that there is an artist that I just started working with. He is a student at Villa Maria College. He goes by the name of Jamar, J-A-M-A-R. This guy is, man, like, he's phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal. Like, really a phenomenal hip-hop artist. I kick myself and say, man, why did I not meet this guy, like, 20 years ago when I first came here? But maybe because he was probably two, because he's a younger guy. But he's a phenomenal artist. I think that we have, like, Jamar's, we have...
Well, let's talk about Jamar just for a second.
Okay.
Tell me what you see in him that's so special.
So, number one, for me, when I deal with artists, and, you know, I've been into management and all of that for a long time. I'm sure we'll talk about that stuff.
No, of course.
For me, the first thing that I look at an artist is their attitude, right? I need to see that they have a workable attitude. Not that, you know, you could be phenomenal, but you don't have to be. You have to lead by following, right? You have to be able to show that, okay, I can be humble and listen. Because there are a lot of people out here, I don't know everything myself, right? So there are a lot of people out here that know a little bit more than we know or that I know. So maybe there's a gem that they can drop on me that's going to be able to get me to a place. This guy is, to be the phenomenal artist that he is, he's super humble. And I don't think I've ever told him this, but that was one of the things that made me be like, listen, I need to connect with this guy, even if it's just a... help them in the process. And I work with artists now, not with the purpose of me becoming a millionaire because I'm working with them. It really is focused on supporting them, because when they do better, the community does better. Right. So he's somebody that I believe, that he just has a great attitude, his knowledge, like the way he writes. So he sings. And the way he writes, and I mean, he's just the package.
And just another follow up question on him, just because I'm always very curious about artists. Mm-hmm. Is there, you talked about the attitude, and he obviously has the work ethic, but, you know, that burning desire. Can you get an idea where that comes from? I mean, it sounds like he's got it.
Yeah, and you know, I can't, that question, although it's a great question. It's a hard question to answer,
sure.
Because I think that everybody's passion comes from something different,
sure.
Right? We're all individuals. So I can, and I just met him, you know, about a month ago.
Yep.
So I can kind of skepticize and kind of think.
Yep.
Because I know where I came from. Right. But I could be projecting. So I don't want to say.
That's fair enough.
But I would say that, like any other artist, I believe the desire comes from having the talent and seeing other people succeed and saying, hey, you know what? I could do that. Or I would like to do that. And then also the fact that there's a desire to get out of where you are. And let me tell you something. It's not about just poverty. Right. It's and that's another misconception. I know rich, very, very rich people that want to get out of where they are.
Right.
Right. And
they want to transform themselves.
Right. You feel trapped in wherever you are, right? Because you put yourself in a box. And there are certain people that say, you know, I don't want to be in this box. I want to get out of that box. And I believe that that's something that probably is something that's similar in every creative space, you know, every artist, probably wants to get out of some situation, whatever that situation. I don't know if it's, and it doesn't have to be negative, you know.
Right. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. I think that's a great way of looking at it, and it's for sure. We're talking with C.J. Banks today. He's the special assistant to the president of Villa Maria College, also overseeing their hip-hop creative alliance, and we're having a great conversation about artists here in Buffalo. So, you know, let's now use this now as an opportunity to expand the conversation into what's going on at the college and what is at the scene. So helping, now you've got talent, you know, lots of people have talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone has the work ethic. Some do, some don't. But then there's, how can that be elevated? What are the things that you guys are talking about inside this alliance, like you said, to uplift artists? Yeah. What are some of those things that these artists need to understand?
So I would say that, so this is the thing. There are tons of great artists, and there are tons of not so great artists, but they're artists, right?
Right.
They think they're great, and that's what's important, because it might not be what I like, right? It might be, if you like yourself, somebody out there likes what you like. So you might appeal to one or many, right?
Yeah.
But artists always have this vision, from my experience, artists always have this vision of just like, hey, I want to be famous. That's their thought process. I want to be a rapper. I want to be a singer. I want to be famous. They equate being famous with making the money, right? Being sustainable, making the, you know, a good salary.
Right.
However, I believe that there is a difference between being famous and being sustainable or making a living, right? Because what a lot of artists lack, in my opinion, is that understanding that they are a business.
Right.
They're not just a talent, right? They're not just somebody that needs to be in the public. They're a talent. They're a business, right? So I believe with the Hip Hop Creative Alliance, the goal, well, not I believe, but I know the goal of the Hip Hop Creative Alliance was to now help these individuals, take them from where they are, wherever it is they are. So there are different levels, right? So you could be an aspiring artist, you could be all the way up to an established artist, right? In the Hip Hop Creative Alliance, we actually create levels too that get individuals from, bring individuals from wherever they are, whether it's aspiring or the next stage to established. We want to provide them the necessary skills to get them to the next level. That might even be how to brand themselves, right? So what we do, and this is the process, we take an artist that decides they want to be part of this Hip Hop Creative Alliance, right? And we evaluate them. We have a whole team of people that will sit and evaluate them, and they'll be part of their own evaluation too. We'll say, where are you? Like, what's your social media, you know, like? What's your branding like? What's your stage presence? What's, you know, do you even know how to hold the mic, right? It's a really intricate process to really figure out where this artist is, right? And the goal is then to offer things like you said, like, so we have workshops where we'll have a lawyer come in and talk about, you know, the business law and entertainment law. We have artists that are very do very well with stage presence and artist development, like how they handle themselves on stage. So we're going to do workshops with for them with that. We have graphic designers that that will be talking to them about you know, how they brand themselves and what their visuals look like. We have digital film companies that are coming and talk to them. The way this started, though, was the thought process that Villa Maria produces tons of awesome creatives every year, right? And these, you know, Villa Maria is a creative arts school, not just a creative arts, but we produce a lot of creative arts people, right? And it's a shame that a lot of them don't connect, right? And with me, my thought process was that the college experience is really not about what you learn, but it's about building your network, right? Who do you meet in college, and how you use them is what's more important than just what you learn, because knowledge changes all the time, right? So my thought process was like, listen, we have graphic designers here, and those graphic designers should be working with the rappers, and we have digital film students that should be working with the singers and digital film students that should be working with the basketball players. Like, right. We got a great basketball team, right? So the basketball players might want to work because they're also in their own prospective fields. They might be digital film. So it's making that connectivity, right?
Yeah.
And then, again, because I'm not an inside-the-box person, and and Dr. Giordano was very vocal about this. He's like, the mission of Villa Maria, number one, Villa Maria has been like Buffalo's best kept secret for a long time. People don't know a lot about it, right? They think it's a nun school or whatever.
It used to be.
Yeah, it used to be, but they don't know a lot about it. They don't know what's right in their backyard. We're in the heart of the East Side. We're right on the East Side. And I know a lot of individuals that graduate high school and their first thing is like, oh, I want to be in the music or somewhere else in there or some other creative field. And they're like, oh, I'm going to apply for Full Sail, right? And do this online class, right? And whatever. When they don't know that we do, I believe we have even a better opportunity because we have in-person, we have facilities, we have venues, we have recording studios, we have connectivity to the community. So my thought process was like, we not only need to do this for our students, the Hip Hop Creative Alliance, now we need to bring the community in. Right. So Dr. Giordano was like, go for it. That's what we need. We need to get people here to see what possibilities are there. And we also need to help the community, because if we help the community, then the community helps itself. Right. And if we can uplift the community, then the community becomes a better community. Right.
Yeah. And you, as you mentioned a couple of times, but it's worth also exploring, when we talk about hip hop culture,
mm-hmm.
we're not just talking about the rap artists. And
right.
You'd mentioned like the graphic designers, but they're showing their own, what they're seeing, what their own creative vision is of that culture.
There are so many different, like, we talk about the elements of hip hop, MCing, graffiti, b-boying, DJing, fashion, but there are so many elements of hip hop now because it's a culture. Just like any other culture, there are so many different elements that are a piece of hip hop. So when you talk about, like, I say this all the time, that hip hop is in every, it's so cross industry,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Like, people use hip hop to sell toilet paper to Toyotas. And that's like my saying. Like, you can listen to a toilet paper commercial and I'm guaranteeing that you'll hear like a hip hop beat or some sort of hip hop,
right.
Connotation to it, as well as Toyota. So I believe that hip hop has a part in every industry, every other culture, every other element in other cultures. Hip hop plays a part in it. Somewhere down the line, it has touched it, if it's not a very big part of it, right? Sports and all of that stuff, right? Talk about institutions, like hip hop, I believe, should be more infused into schools, right? Into education. And obviously Villa Maria believes that too, right? But like high schools, like if I was in high school and I was walking down the hallway and I heard somebody in the classroom reciting Shakespeare, I probably would keep walking. How many kids are walking around in the community, and whatever community is really thinking about Shakespeare?
Right.
But if I was walking down the hall and I heard Drake or Lil Baby or whoever else, I'm probably going to be like, yo, what's going on in that class? And you talk about engagement, right?
Right.
Why are the youth, why is the youth so disengaged right now? Because we're not engaging. We're not engaging them into what's important. It may not just be hip hop, but we do that with sports, right? We bring football and things like that into school. Why are we so afraid to bring hip hop, right? Which is what they want to hear.
Right.
Right. And even pop music, too. I think that hip hop is really encompassing all genres right now, too. Like you have rappers that are doing country songs. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So you know, and yeah, R&B artists doing country songs.
Yeah.
Like I just seen that. So listen, I think that hip hop is such a tool, a great tool to connect with the community. Not just young ones, older individuals, me. Like, I'm 50 years old, you know what I mean? So, and I love hip-hop. And if it's something hip-hop, it catches my attention, you know what I mean? And there are a lot of people out there that do that.
Do you remember the first time hip-hop connected with you when you were younger?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
I absolutely. I remember I was probably about 5 or 6 years old, and my brother, who recently passed away, Corp, a few years ago, he came into our bedroom, and we lived very poor. Like, I grew up in the Bronx, very poor, welfare, all of that stuff. He came into, it was like four of us lived in the room, and he came into a room, and I just remember him doing something. A friend of his was like banging on a white bucket, and he was rapping. And I don't, I just loved it. Like, I didn't know what it was. Right, exactly. He was just rapping. But come to find out, I didn't really know my father until I was 13 years old. Come to find out, my father was a singer. And was, naturally he was doing some big things, and he actually ended up going to Vietnam, and then that kind of ended his singing career because he was drafted. Well, I think he enlisted, but he was going to be drafted, whatever. So, but it must have been in my bones, you know what I mean? But I remember that. I remember my brother rapping, and then I started, rapping, and then I was going through some troubles when I was a kid. I had a pretty rough childhood. And then when I moved out to Long Island, there was a group in Long Island. When I went to high school, I think it was like my first year in high school, there was a group that was in the cafeteria, and they were sitting at the table, and they were like banging on the table and rapping, doing the drum beat on the table and rapping. And then they all like, oh, we're gonna go in the bathroom and rap. So we all went in the bathroom because the back room had that echo.
Yes.
And so I had, somebody was in the corner beatboxing, and you had the echo with the beat, but so it sounded really bassy or whatever. And they were rapping, and I was like, oh man, I wanna do this. So then I started rapping with them, and we became the Wizards of Rap, and it was like a long story. And So that was it. Like,
that's great. You know, we're going to use this as a moment to take a time out.
Okay.
Give us a chance to reset, and we'll come back with more with CJ Banks today on What's Next. This is What's Next on WBFO.
Did you know that WNED PBS is always working on great new local shows for you to watch? Documentaries like Kleinhand's Gift to Buffalo, which tells the story of Buffalo's Music Hall.
The hall is very intimate, and that intimacy makes everyone who comes in here feel a part of our family.
Fun and educational series like Compact Science.
Believe it or not, peppers are technically fruits.
And Shakespeare's greatest hits featuring some of his best-known soliloquies and monologues.
We are such stuff as dreams are made of.
You can watch them all on our website at wned.org/local shows. While you're there, check out the show pages and mini websites for additional content such as bonus features, photo galleries, and lesson plans. Find it all at wned.org/local shows.
Join WBFO every Saturday at 6 p.m. for an insightful and enlightening series of audio documentaries from our region that tackle topics such as the environment, health, the world of entertainment, and more. Listen to the WBFO DocuHour every Saturday at 6 p.m. right here on WBFO, your NPR station.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And we're back on What's Next, talking with CJ Banks, Special Assistant to the President at Villa Maria College. We've been talking about the Hip Hop Creative Alliance that's been established at Villa Maria. But CJ also is into a lot of different things. We mentioned a couple of times that I love the term serial entrepreneur, yeah. But you're in not only things business side of things, but also you have a foundation that mm-hmm. you've started as well, the CORP Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
What does CORP stand for?
So CORP stands for Knowing Our Real Potential. So Knowing Our Real Potential, I say that with Long Island accents, I think, but our real potential. That's the acronym is K-O-R-P. And the CORP Foundation was started in 2020. And this was right at the kind of the end of the pandemic. And I was actually a director at another nonprofit where we did like parenting education, and I was working with a lot of parents and schools and things like that. And all I kept hearing is like, well, nobody wants to go to programs no more, right? Because of the pandemic.
Right.
They were stuck home for almost 2 years, right? So now kids don't want to go to school. I have 8 kids of my own. So I saw the result of not being able to leave the house for a couple of years, right? And then expecting people to just jump out and go,
right?
Expecting the kids to go. So, of course, like I said, I was in the music industry for a long time. Was a producer, a manager, and owned a few recording studios. I built 6 recording studios all over the country. And so I was like, you know what? I believe that this is a talent that God gave me. You know, this music and the knowledge of how to build recording studios and all that I learned at a very young age. When I was 16, I built my first one.
Wow.
So I said, you know, I wanted to do something that was going to engage a lot of the youth. Now, at the same time, which is parallel, is hip hop was becoming such a even a bigger thing here in Buffalo because of Griselda, right? Griselda was putting us on the map. So people talking about Griselda, Buffalo. You couldn't hear. You have Sway in the Morning. You have all these Hot 97. Everybody, you're listening, they're saying Buffalo. Few years ago, like 6 or 7 years ago, that was not a case.
Right.
You would say Buffalo and people were like, what? You know, you're an artist from Buffalo, whatever, people would not know. So we're there. Like, so I was like, and then in the community, now the kids are starting to want to be rappers again, want to be singers again. They're starting to see like, oh, wait, I see actually people that I know making it. Now I want to do that, right? Because that's another part of the passion, why people believe that they can do this, because they see people that they know doing it, right? So I decided then to put all my, I spent my savings and said I'm going to invest in a really real state-of-the-art recording studio, something that's going to be something that when a student goes in there, they're gonna see what they would see if they were in the music industry, right? There are not too many programs out there that have, a lot of programs out here that teach recording, and they have like a laptop, a little mic, and maybe some pads on the wall, and that's it. But I really wanted to create the experience of being in a recording studio. Also on top of that, I wanted a safe experience for students, right? Or for youth, right? The other challenge was that there are a lot of recording studios here in Buffalo. Some of them are, I mean, they're all great studios.
Right.
And I'm not saying anything, negative about them, but they may not be the safest space for the young ones, right? A lot of times there may be a place where,
A place where they can fail? Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah,
where they can come and be vulnerable?
Vulnerable. I like that. Like, just seeing things, because, like, the recording industry, it's an adult industry.
Yeah.
Right?
Competitive.
So yeah. And people do adult things, right? They might drink alcohol or like, smoke weed or whatever the case may be. I felt like that's not something I would want my kids around.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. And so what I decided to do was build a safe space, right? This is a safe space. This is a space where youth can come and they're not going to be around, weed or a lot of people hanging out or whatever case. They're going to come, they're going to work, they're going to see the experience, learn the experience, and then move on. So, to bigger and better things. So that was the other reason why I wanted to build this and why I kept it private. Right, so it's a private studio, it's not open to the public. We do have some community artists that I allow to work there, because the goal is to help specific artists get to where they want to be, but they have to prove themselves, right?
Yeah.
That they're worthy, they're not there to just hang out. And the other thing is that there are some challenges, right, with being an artist, right? Some artists want to be it because they see the fame and they see this, but they don't realize that it's a business. I want to handle this as a business, right? If you go to CVS, you're not going there and smoking weed, or you're not going to hanging out. You're right. going to get what you got to get and go out. That's the type of environment that I keep at the studio. So anyway, I built the studio, stayed at our studio. We built a video podcast room. So we started with just the studio.
Okay.
And then I was like, but there's more, right? Because there's more that students want to do. They don't, everybody doesn't want to be a rapper, right? Or a singer, or a poet, or, you know, author. We do audiobooks and things like that. But there are other people that want to be in different media. So I created a podcast, or a big thing. Like, this is kind of like a podcast, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
And, so I created a video podcast space in there, and then I also created a mix and mastering room where we mix and master songs. So I work with the, you know, youth to for them to see, you know, what it is to mix and master a song and what it really means to mix and master a song. And then we have a video production area with a green screen and a way for them to do like mic drop videos or whatever type of videos they want to do. So it's really like a media center is what it is. And then the latest addition we're working on right now is actually creating a computer lab where we're going to be teaching some introduction classes, introductory classes to different forms of creatives, you know, like video production,
okay.
graphic design, even web design and things like that, that we could then transition them into a, you know, a higher education path.
Right, and that's the kind of where the Villa Maria connection yeah, comes together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was our first program. The Corp Foundation had the first program, but then I don't know if you know this, but I was a vice president at Bitwise. It was a company that came to Buffalo. Well, it was supposed to come to Buffalo. It was a tech company,
right.
A for-profit tech company that. Had a social impact mission, and I love that mission that it had. It was like, we need to help individuals, and it was aligned with what I am, right?
Yep.
We need to help individuals in underserved community, traditionally overlooked individuals, and get them into tech careers, right? Music is a tech career, like, you know, recording engineering, video production, all that is technology, right? It's using technology, or it's tech-enabled careers or tech-adjacent careers also. So one thing led to another with Bitwise, and they folded like on Memorial Day of 2023. And my executive assistant at that time and I sat down and said, listen, we believe in this mission. We have the nonprofit, the Core Foundation. We need to move this into, we need to move on this. We need to keep this going, right? Because Bitwise had started the mission, kind of brought it, you know, was the catalytic thought process of starting the mission, but it was just a vehicle. So we embraced the mission because my team was doing the work anyway, and we started a PATHS program, PATHS, which is Professional Advancement Through Hands-On Skills. And that program, we create different paths to different careers. So we started, our first path is Salesforce. I don't know if you heard of Salesforce. It's a CRM, client relationship management tool. And individuals that get certified in Salesforce can make anywhere from like 70 to 100 and some, you know, $1,000, six figures. You
mm-hmm.
know,
catch people's attention.
As an admin. And, right. guess what? You don't even have to have a high school diploma. You just have to know the software. You have to know how to use this. It's a cloud-based software. You have to know how to use the software and how to relate that to whatever business is using it, right? So we started our first PATHS program cohort in January of this year. And by the way, Villa Maria is a partner in the PATHS program also.
Okay.
So like the Corp Foundation and Villa Maria are very closely aligned mm-hmm. and with all of the things that we're doing because Dr. Giordano believed in the Corp Foundation. When a lot of people didn't because we were so new, Dr. Giordano and Villa Maria put their resources and their support behind us and said, we love what you guys are doing. We want this to be a part of Villa. So that's how we kind of got married. So anyway, the PATHS program is actually a program where we have right now our first cohort is 10 individuals. They first earn their national certification through Salesforce as a Salesforce associate. And then after that, they go to phase two where they become a certified Salesforce admin. And then we have an employer partner, Red Argyle from Canandaigua, that's offering five of the individuals a full-time apprenticeship, making $35 an hour. So they're going from, most of them are, our participants aren't making any money. They're not even employed.
Right.
Some of them were employed but making like $20,000, $25,000 a year. Now they're going to be making $72,000 a year.
Wow.
Within 16 to 20 weeks, if they're, you know, successful. Our first phase just finished, and 8 out of the 10 individuals got their certification.
Wow.
So, and that's not, but wait, that's not it. that's
just to scratch right. the surface,
they,
huh?
They have, they also get 6 college credits. After they complete their admin certification, they get 6 college credits towards a business marketing degree at Villa Maria.
Wow.
So it's a true path, like, to success, a sustainable wage, a sustainable, you know, to be sustainable and be, you know, a productive citizen for their family and their community. You know what I mean?
And the students are, obviously, they're taken to it. I mean, yeah,
absolutely.
They're engaged.
Absolutely. And we have such a diverse, yeah. Like, diversity is key. Like, we didn't get the students by putting out a flyer and said, hey, anybody wants to do this. We specifically went to agencies and organizations that serve underserved individuals. That's one of the Corp Foundation's tactics, if you will, is we don't put out flyers and say anybody wants to do this, because you're going to get tons of people that have access, right? We want to find the people that don't have access, right? We want to make sure that we're diverse. So we actually connected with, like, the Urban League and I don't want to say many, because then that means I'm leaving somebody.
Yeah, that's fine. No, other
many organizations. Yeah, with many different organizations and offered, you know, this service to their participants. So then their participants are the ones that signed on. Even I can say, like, we went to the City Mission. We went to the Buffalo Futures. We went to, of course, Villa Maria was another organization that we worked with. A lot of different organizations that we got these participants, you know, from. And it is being funded by the City of Buffalo through Villa Maria. So Villa Maria actually supports the Corp Foundation and subcontracted with us to make this happen.
Wow.
So it's really, really awesome. So we have the Corp Foundation has the HYPE program, which is Helping Youth Proclaim Excellence. That's the recording studio program. And then we have the PASS program, which is, I told you, I have very acronym heavy.
Yes.
That's from my days of managing EPMD, which is Eric and Parrish Making Dollars. So, but it's the, we have the PASS program, which is Professional Advancement Through Hands-On Skills.
All right, we're going to take one more time out with CJ Banks, and we'll be back with more. This is What's Next on WBFO.
This is the Buffalo-Toronto Public Media History Bite, bringing you a peek into significant historical events for the week of March 4th to March 10th. I'm your host, Abby Mylock. On Tuesday, March 6th, 1921, pigs were on the loose in Buffalo. Hundreds of pigs were roaming the streets of Buffalo in East Buffalo Livestock Exchange. The New York Times had even reported this strange event. March is a month of various things. On Friday, March 8th, it is National Women's Day, a day dedicated to appreciating the women in your life. Go thank them and appreciate all the women in your life on this day. Even though everyone does this every day, March is also the luck of the Irish. With that being said, the Irish Immigrant Statue had been dedicated to Irish immigrants on March 9th, 2020. You can go check out this statue at the Buffalo Irish Center on Abbott Road. You've been listening to the Buffalo-Toronto Public Media History Bite. Discover more stories about Western New York's past on the Buffalo History Museum's website. Learn more at buffalohistory.org. For Buffalo-Toronto Public Media, I'm Abby Mylock.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And welcome back to What's Next? Our guest today, CJ Banks. CJ, we've been talking with him throughout most of the hour here. It's involved in a lot of different things. We've introduced him as the special assistant to the president of Villa Maria College and overseeing their hip-hop creative alliance, which recently formed. But, you know, CJ has had a chance to get to know you a little bit before we went on the air here. And you know, you've got, you're a DJ as well.
Yep.
You're still, still on the air here in Buffalo, right?
Yep. I've been DJing since I was 13.
Okay.
Started my own DJ business when I was about 15. My father bought me some tables and some speakers, and I had like these huge speakers, and I would push it around the town and do parties for people and everything. But yeah, so I DJ on Power 96.5, WFO 1080 mix, and it's the Friday night warm up. I do a lot of parties too, so like
you're still doing parties.
Yeah, a lot of people call me.
You don't sleep much.
No, I don't. I am a business owner. Like I own Plaid Buffalo, which is a marketing solutions company, screen printing and all of that. I'm special assistant to the president, the president founder of the Corp Foundation, and I am a DJ. But the DJ, and you know, I'm a DJ slash music producer. So you know, I work in the studio, I make beats and all that. But I really love DJing. Like I think that DJing is like really like my calling.
And you go by DJ Cash.
DJ Cash. Okay. It's a playoff of CJ Banks, yep. DJ Cash, Banks Cash.
It works.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that's what I go by. My show is Friday Night Warm Up, and we interview a lot of people in the community. You know, the first hour is really, it's sponsored by Villa Maria, and the first hour is really focused on uplifting the community, giving the community a platform to talk about what they're doing. Right. You know, very similar to what you do. You know, I think that not a lot of people have a platform, right, to really learn what they're about and what they're doing. So,
and you also have a podcast.
Yes. Yep, the Hype Podcast. So I said the Hype Program,
which is
helping youth proclaim excellence, but we wanted to do something for adults too. So we created the Hype Podcast, and it's Hype Podcast 716, and it is helping you proclaim excellence, right? And again, there's my acronyms, but so that what we do, and I have an awesome co-host. Her name is Shayna Van Dyne. And actually, Shayna is also the executive director of the Corp Foundation.
Okay.
So I'm the president, she's the executive director. And we interview a lot of people. We did a pilot last year. We did like four different episodes last year. This year, we've already started for our season one, our official season. Our first podcast we dropped was with Tim Hoges.
Oh, okay.
He is the Commissioner of Civil Service, the New York State Commissioner of Civil Service. Great guy. So we just dropped that one. Of course, we had to get Dr. Giordano, so we have him dropping soon. We have Steve Bell. I don't know if you know Steve Bell. He used to work for the Buffalo News and some marketing companies. Great guy. Another great guy in the community. We also have Cindy McCacken, who is executive director of Peace Prints. Excuse me. The goal of the podcast is really to connect the community with people that they normally wouldn't talk to.
Right.
Right. So we interview people that are doing great things, and we learn more about them, because I believe that sometimes when you hear more about other people and you can relate to certain things, and you're
absolutely
like, oh, wait, I feel that way, or I can do that, or whatever, maybe it might allow you to feel or help you to feel more self-confident and get out and do those things too, or at least connect with those individuals. So everybody shares who they are, how to connect with them, what they're doing, and we really share, like, I really want to get people to see how down to earth people are, even people in power.
Right.
Right. Like, you can walk up to somebody and talk to them. You know, they're not untouchable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And CJ, you know, you got this great perspective in the sense that, you know, you're born in the Bronx, spent a lot of time in business, mm-hmm. some time in Florida, came here 20 years ago. So I always like to hear, you're not an outsider anymore. You're
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah.
Major Bills fan. You're one of us. But at the same time, you did have that viewpoint coming in. Tell me about what you've learned about this community, what makes it special, and if mm-hmm. you'd like, I know you like to focus on the positive, but things you want to see improved.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, I'll start with this.
Sure.
When I came to Buffalo, I came in with, you know, those new goggles, like that new vision, right? Yeah. I didn't know anything about Buffalo. Matter of fact, the day I moved to Buffalo was the first time I was ever in Buffalo.
Okay.
So
And your wife brought you here.
And my wife brought here. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I saw Buffalo to be this new space with new opportunity, right? And that's always the person I am. Like, I've lived in many places, and I always like, okay, what's the opportunity here?
Yeah.
How can we do this?
Yeah. So what were the opportunities?
So
what'd you see?
I saw, number one, that there was opportunity because there wasn't a lot of people doing what I wanted to do, right? At least vocally. Like, I didn't see that, right? I saw a lot of people trying to leave Buffalo to do what I wanted to do. But they weren't looking at Buffalo as a possibility to do those things, right? So that made me excited. It made, you know, it was kind of sad, too, because I was in other places. And a lot of people that haven't been in other places, they don't realize that problems aren't geographical, right? You bring your problems with you, because guess where the problem lies? Within yourself. So
right.
Wherever you go, you're taking them.
Right.
You're bringing them. So you're going to get somewhere else and you're going to see the same problems. Right? And you're like, oh, everywhere I go, you know. So I when I got here, I was excited and I was like, wow, this is really a great opportunity. Plus, because I saw that there were a lot of challenges. Buffalo was a little bit behind in some of the thought processes and the things. Like, it's very segregated, right? I remember a very early time when I got here, like 20 years ago, I was walking in Babcock area, and I had guys come out of the wherever. I don't remember, Delhi or something. Saying racial things to me, like, get out of the neighborhood or whatever. And I was like, you know, I come from the city where – you know, everybody looks different, right? I had my next door neighbor was white and we were both poor. You know what I mean? So it didn't matter the color of your skin. So I was amazed to learn, you know, the one thing that I feel was negative and still has a little bit of negativity in it is the segregation. I've seen it change.
For the better.
For the better, yeah. I've seen it change for the better, but we still have a lot of work to do. You know, the very fact that 514 happened is a testament to that. Not that it happened to, because we already know the negativity on that, right?
Yeah.
It happened to, you know, the individuals that it happened to, but the fact that this person knew where to go, what community to go to affect black people, you know, is a testament to the fact that we have a lot of changing to do, because if we were not segregated, it would be hard for him to pick the tops to go to, right?
Right.
But he knew where to go, you know? So the segregation, and I'm sorry, I didn't want to take it to a dark space.
No, I appreciate that. I wanted an honest answer.
Yeah,
you most certainly
the segregation is definitely something. And the fact that, you know, at one point when I was in Buffalo, at one point I had to take those glasses off and look at what I really see, right? And look at what really needs changing, because when it looks new, you know, you ever go into a new city and you just drive around, like I'm the type of person, I'll go to a new place and I'll just drive around just go, oh, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool. When I lived in Florida, quick, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I lived in Florida. I used to drive by the beach in Flagler Beach.
Yep, near Daytona.
By Daytona, and even in Daytona, and I would just drive by that water. That beach, right? And like, oh, that's cool, yeah, whatever. And I just got used to it, right?
Right.
I drive to Buffalo. I live in Buffalo, and I drive by the lakes, right? And on Tisch, off of Tisch, you know.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, okay, that's nice. But sometimes you just get used to seeing what's there, and it's not new to you anymore, right? When I first drove into the city of Buffalo. My wife would tell you when she took me down, I think it was the 190, and we're driving, and I seen the skyline. I was so excited. Oh, okay, this is the city. We're back, you know. And then now I drive in, and I don't appreciate it. So I think that you start to lose that new, you know, that newness. And I think that Buffalo, as a city, we have to start looking at that newness, looking back at that, and re-energizing our love for our city. You know what I mean? And know that we can do great things. You don't have to move to Atlanta. You don't have to move to New York City. You don't have to move to California. Like, we can do great things here, and we are doing great things here. So let's look at those things, and let's continue to be great here and uplift the community. You know what I mean? And help everybody be great, because I live by the mantra that if you help enough people get what they want, eventually you get what you want. So that's everything that I go by, is really helping everybody get to where they want. Eventually I'll get there, and if I don't, at least my kids will be there, you know, eventually. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, CJ Banks, appreciate the conversation this hour. Mm-hmm. It has been great. Need to hear more. And looking forward to getting a checkup on the Hip Hop Creative Alliance as it moves
Absolutely.
Forward and how things are going at the Core Foundation as well, and all the other things. You're a busy guy, so yeah. Thanks for taking an hour to be with us today.
Do I have one minute to shout something?
5 seconds.
5 seconds. Make sure you check our website out, because we have the Juneteenth Faith and Freedom screening coming up. Check out villa.edu.
Will do. This is WBFO and WBFO HD1 Buffalo, WOLN and WUBJ Jamestown, your NPR station.